Is the government finally cracking down on businesses that hire illegal immigrants? That's the question tonight. After federal agents today staged a series of dramatic raids in 9 states, arresting hundreds of employees and 7 executives of IFCO Systems. That's one of the world's leading providers of crates and pallets. The head of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement says today's raids and those arrests of the executives are only the beginning.
It used to be that these cases were handled really with a slap on the wrist or a small fine. We are now aggressively pursuing criminal charges, as many charges as we can, when we find companies that blatantly violate the law.
All this comes as the country's been rocked by enormous demonstrations supporting immigration. So the deep divide on the immigration question is our focus tonight. Nightline's Chris Bury goes to 2 counties in Arizona that have very different approaches on the issue.
The border town of San Luis, Arizona, stirs to life long before sunrise. Even at 4 in the morning, the attraction of American wages draws these men and women from Mexico. They board the buses of labor contractors hired to deliver human payloads to the farmers of Yuma County. Once on the bus, they will endure another hour or two in a commute that began somewhere in Mexico at 2 or 3 in the morning. For Felipe Hernandez, the economics are clear and compelling.
How much would you make in Mexico?
Like a week, like 500 pesos, like $50, $60 a week.
$56
yeah,
a week?
Yeah.
And how about here in the United States?
Like 250, 300 maybe, depends on the hours you
so
work.
There's no contest?
No.
They can make nearly $7 an hour in this country, or less than a dollar an hour in Mexico, the widest income gap between 2 countries sharing a border anywhere in the world. Fernando Escueda, who once picked lettuce at his mother's side, now runs a nonprofit that helps other immigrants.
They are the ones that are picking our vegetables. They are the ones that are building our homes. They are the ones that are making your bed at the resort you're at.
On this day, the bus stops at one of the giant commercial farms near Yuma. Only now, after a 4 or 5 hour trip, do these workers begin to earn their hourly wage. It is intense, fast, back-breaking work, cutting and packing heads of iceberg lettuce. The women cover their faces against the dust and the pesticides. This corner of Arizona is where most of the vegetables on your table this past winter were grown. In fact, Yuma County produces 90% of the lettuce, cauliflower, and broccoli produced in this country between Thanksgiving and Easter. It's a business worth about $1 billion a year, and the big growers here depend entirely on immigrant labor, legal and not.
Could you get these crops out without immigrant labor?
Not the way it is now. We just couldn't get the job done. We're slowly mechanizing, but that is ongoing. But we still can't eliminate people. We still need the people.
And all of the people come from beyond the border.
I have worked since I was 7 years old in the fields, and not once have I ever seen an Anglo-American pick alongside me.
Some people in this immigration debate say, well, why don't you give these jobs to Americans?
We can't find the people to do the job. I've got a newspaper in the truck you can look at. There are 3 or 4 pages of help wanted ads. We can't find enough people to get the job done.
The growers insist they do their best to hire legal immigrants. And the truth is, those on both sides of the border game the system because a $1 billion business in Yuma County depends on it.
We have documents on everybody.
But you don't know if they're legitimate.
We are not document experts. In fact, we've shown some to the Border Patrol and they scratch their head going, man, that's good. I don't know if it's real or not. So if they can't figure it out, how can we?
Just across the state in the southeastern corner of Arizona, ranchers in Cochise County look at immigration from a decidedly different viewpoint.
They're maybe waiting for the Border Patrol to do something.
Many nights, Roger Barnett sets up his own thermal imaging camera to scan the border for illegals.
Whenever I see people, I'll call the Border Patrol, let them know about it, and then give them an idea where they are.
On this night, his screen reveals only a single rabbit and some cows. But Barnett is spending his own time and money because he considers the human traffic an affront to American law.
They're flooding across, invading the place. They're going to bring their families, their wives, and they're going to bring their kids. We don't need them.
In Cochise County, the Border Patrol is putting up a bigger, better fence in a place illegal immigrants only pass through on their way to find jobs in Tucson or Phoenix. The fence already extends for 6 miles on each side of Douglas, Arizona, but all the new cameras and lights have only pushed the human smugglers farther down the line into the desert.
Does it, in effect, move the illegal immigration out into the countryside?
Well, the illegal alien smugglers are part of the criminal element. They're going to try to sneak their cargo into the U.S. where it's easier. Of course, if there's fencing, if there's additional lighting, if there's more agents, if there's additional cameras set up, they're going to go to a part of town where there is a less fence, a less cameras, and things of that sort.
Unlike Yuma, Cochise County has few jobs to spare, so the burden of even temporary illegal immigrants is great.
Howdy.
Consider health care. Last year, just from May to December, illegal aliens cost this hospital, a small one, about $400,000.
The impact on the criminal justice system has been substantial.
Indeed, the sheriff of Cochise County figures up to 40% of his department's time and budget is spent dealing with illegals, and he gets an earful from property owners who feel violated when strangers traipse through their land.
Whether you live in an apartment in Chicago or you live on 20,000 acres in southern Arizona, if someone's in your backyard, you resent it. And then when they're using it for a bathroom and cutting fences and damaging your water sources, it's a big economic loss.
And where the fence ends just outside of town, the burden falls hard on individual ranchers.
Give us a sense of how many immigrants do you think come across your property in a given week?
Well, I think there's 500 a week, at least.
That's a huge number.
Every draw, every low crossing like this, there's probably three or four groups a day of 15 to 20.
For John Ladd, whose family ranch covers 14,000 acres along the border with Mexico, the daily influx means continually fixing fences and dealing with the debris and destruction on his land.
Well, the foot trails, it takes them probably 6 to 7 years to heal up and grass growing back on them. The plastic will stay for 50 years. You know, I don't see this problem going away.
So, two counties on opposite ends of the same state reflect the deep American ambivalence on immigration. How do you reconcile the insatiable demand for cheap labor with such blatant violations of the law? Here in Arizona, as in Washington, the only point of agreement is that the current system is as flimsy and full of holes as the fence that just fades away in the vast desert that America shares with Mexico. This is Chris Beery for Nightline in Cochise County, Arizona.